Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What is up, party people? Happy Valentine's Day. Chad Benson Show loves you. We want to make sure that you're doing the right things in the dating world, especially you ladies out there. Joining us now, a lady by the name of Shannon Cleary. She's an author, a sexpert, a blogger. Her book is dropping today. She dated the hashtag asshats, but married the good guy. Shannon, thanks so much for taking time with us today. How are you?
I am doing very well. I'm happy to be here.
So let's talk about who are the bad guys that ladies need to avoid dating?
Right. The first thing I want to say is this is the bad. They're bad guys and bad girls. So any men that are listening, you may recognize these women as well. You got to keep your eyes peeled. So I have him as Mr. Need for Speed. So this is the guy that comes at you 100 miles an hour. He's never been so intoxicated. He just wants your phone number. He wants to make you shake you up and make you instant girlfriend. And then what happens is once you're hooked, he cools down and disappears. Fear of engulfment. So if you meet a guy that's coming on strong, take a few steps back, take a deep breath, and wait and see. The next guy is Mr. You Suck. And what I mean by that is the criticism begins to come. You've been dating a few weeks, and pretty soon maybe he doesn't like the way your hair looks. Maybe he doesn't like what you're wearing. Then it's your personality. You're kind of needy. You're kind of clingy. So this is a guy that is trying to make you feel bad so that you don't feel entitled to have any needs. So you got to keep an eye out for that person. There are a few more. There is Mr. KGB agent. And he doesn't want you to know too much or he might have to kill you, right? So don't get near his computer. Don't get near his phone. You know, he's on ghost ops, which means there might be some other women floating around out there somewhere that he doesn't want you to know about. And as I said, there are some women that can behave that way as well. Now I'm trying to think. I had a couple more. Oh, Mr. Mopes.
You got Mr. Cautious, Mr. One Way Street, Mr. Mopes. There's just a lot of guys out there.
My
and gals
goodness,
that, you know,
these poor guys. I'm just really picking on them. But it is, like I said, not gender specific. But since I'm a woman, that was my experience where I always wanted my guy to come with me to meet my family and hang out with my friends and to present ourselves as a couple. He always dragged his heels. But if he would go, boy, would he mope. You know, it would just be like the black hole of Calcutta. You know, you couldn't get the guy to talk. So it almost wasn't worth the trouble. And really what these guys are indicating is that they really appreciate the comfort of having you. They know that you're going to be there for them sexually. They know you're going to fulfill their intimacy needs. But they do have a fear of being of engulfment. I mean, they used to call it, you know, they were noncommittal. But this fear of being too responsible for a partner. And it's fear-based, you know, on both parts. So, yeah, for Valentine's
absolutely. We're talking
you
to
avoid those guys.
We're talking to Shannon Cleary here. She's an author, a sexpert, a blogger. She's got a book coming out today. It drops today, as they would say in the business. It's called She Dated the Hashtag Asshats But Married the Good Guy, How to Go from Toxic Love to Real Love in 12 Exercises. Now, you talk about these guys and gals, obviously, it's the same thing. But, like, what should you be looking for in a partner? What are the signs where you're like, you know, this is that good guy?
Right. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't want to be too retro 50s, but the first thing that we have to do as women and men is when we go out dating, we need to have a game plan. You know, we need to know what our goal is. Is it just a fun Saturday night? Is it just a casual sex partner? Or do you want something more? And if you do, then what happens is you present differently, you know, and you kind of repel the guys or girls that are not looking for what you're looking for. I think what happens is we go in and we just want to be easygoing. We think that's more appealing. So we're not really being true to ourselves right up front. That's number one. And I think what you're looking for is someone who's not rushing, someone who really comes across as a grown-up. So you leave the encounter. You don't feel high or intoxicated by the encounter. You feel curious. You feel intellectually stimulated. You feel like, wow, I feel kind of safe around that person. I feel kind of like, you know, he's a good guy. But it's not a big, passionate rush. So that's what I think. It really does depend on what you're looking for. For me, when I was in my 30s, I was ready. I wanted to have a family. And I wanted to not just have a family, but have a family in a loving, stable home. So when I finally started dating my husband of 17 years, the first thing I felt with him was like respect. I felt respected. I didn't feel objectified, and I felt like he really wanted to know what I was thinking. So,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I think that's just being a good guy. But you talked about when you were in your 30s. Obviously, if you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, you're in your 40s, things are a lot different, because when you're in your 20s, you're having fun. You don't really want anything.
Yeah.
30s, maybe early 30s, the same thing. Then you're starting to look for something. And you're in your 40s. You've probably already done it once before. And now you know what you don't want. So is this kind of time, you know, kind of time adjusted for love?
Yes, absolutely. And here's the tricky thing about sex. I'll just say this. In your 20s, it's like, I'm going to be an explorer and an adventurer. And I'm going to have some notches on my belt. And there are women that are exactly that way, just the same as men. It's like, how many experiences can I have to talk about one day when I'm married and settled? The problem is that when we, especially as women, when we become sexually intimate with a man, there's all these chemicals that are released in our brain, oxytocin, dopamine, all of these things. And we think, hey, I can have casual sex. It's no big deal. But, you know, it leads to falling in love, and it really is a chemical reaction. And that's why I say to women in their 20s, sure, maybe you're not ready to get married. I mean, you know, maybe you do want to have more experiences and adventures, but take care of yourself. Really know if something feels good and right for you, or if it feels like, I think I'm in over my head, you know? Because I think we say we can casually date, but I think it's more complicated than we want to admit. Does that make sense?
Talking to Shannon Kaleri. She is an author, a sexpert, a blogger. She got a new book coming out today. She dated the hashtag asshats but married the good guy. How to go from toxic love to real love in 12 exercises on this Valentine's Day. Making sure all of you understand that we care about you here at the Chad Benson Show. What are some of the things that, you know, so you talk about, you know, okay, this is what you should look for in a good guy. But at the same time, like for men, why do men get paralyzed or commitment phobes or whatever, you know, as you called them, the Mr. Need for Speed or whatever. What is it about that, the engulfment thing? Is it chemical? Is it just mental?
Right. Well, here's what I think. I think for one thing, men and women are very different biologically. We have very, very different needs. I mean, the fact that women get pregnant and have children, that's a whole other ball of wax. You know, it makes it, I think that we're just sort of made by nature to be more capable of settling down, because we're going to be giving birth to an infant that needs to be cared for and is completely dependent. And I think that, so that I do believe there is something that is biologically very different between men and women. Having said that, I believe that I was afraid of commitment, and that's why I dated non-committal men, because I did have a boyfriend somewhere in my mid-20s who wanted marriage and wanted all of me, and it scared the crap out of me. And I think some of that stems from childhood. You know, in my case, I had a parent that I parented when I was a child. And there are a lot of children that end up in that situation. The divorce rate skyrocketed in the 70s. So a lot of the kids were dealing with parents that were really kind of devastated by divorce. And so a lot of kids ended up having to nurture and care for or worry about the emotional and mental state of a parent. And then what happens is when you become an adult, it's terrifying to get involved in a situation where you feel that sense of responsibility. So that part of it, I think, is not gender oriented. I really do think that you look back in your childhood and you start doing a little bit of investigation about why today you feel. And it's funny, when they say commitment phobic, it really is a phobia. I mean, it really is this feeling of claustrophobia. I personally had to date enough toxic guys for me to say, you know what, I surrender, I'm ready to commit. And it was only then that I think that I was available for a man who wanted a commitment.
You know, you talk about toxic guys. Why is it that both men and women, over and over again, it's like, if you could choose the wrong person out of 1,000, you would do it, right? Like at 99 out of the 100 people are the right person. That one person, though, you could walk in a room and go, that's the one right there I'm going to make the mistake with tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I always make the joke that in my 20s, my vagina could walk into a bar and she'd be like, I want that one. He looks like he just came out of Rikers Penitentiary. That's hot, you know? And I think there's something about the dangerous person that's just, you know, kind of sexy and thrilling. You know, my brother married when he was very young. He was 22, and he's Mormon. So I thought, well, okay, it's his religion. I'm not Mormon, but he is. And I was you know, interviewing him for my Married Sex series, because he and his wife, they were each other's only lovers. And he said to me, I really do think there's two types of people, the thrill seekers and the commitment folks. And he's like, the thrill seekers, they just want to have adventures. And so I do. I think that's what happens, is we keep picking the same person just in a different body, because we have that impulse. We're sort of chemically addicted to that kind of drama and adventure. And I think it takes a real conscious effort. I had to work some 12-step recovery to sort of stop that pattern of behavior. And they actually, you know, it's funny, the medical professionals now deem things like addiction, whether it be love addiction or drug addiction, as a mental illness. And so you have to address it in a very practical way. It's really not airy-fairy. There really is a map, believe it or not.
Talking to Shannon Caleri here, we got one more question for you. Why is it, sure, Shannon, as you know, here you are, you're an author, you're a sexpert, you're a blogger, you're a dating relationship coach. Why is it some people can't let go of somebody in their past? It doesn't matter who, because let's be real, we always compare in life. Doesn't matter what it is, food, relationships, jobs, friends, you know, sports, where everything is a comparison in life. Why is it some people, but men and women, can't let go of something in the past?
I think there's two reasons. I think one reason is we have a competitive nature. And when somebody breaks our heart, or he's the one that got away, there's this, it sort of wounds us right at our core, which is our sexuality. I mean, sexuality is a large part of what we are. And when we've been rejected in that way, that's a core wound. And so we want that. We want to prove that guy or girl wrong. It's like, look what you missed. And that's when all the social media starts to be really bad, because you're posting things to look good, or you reconnect with that person. And the fact is, what you find, and I know a lot of people find this, is they go back to that person and the cycle just repeats. So I think that there's that competitive nature. And then there's also the psychology behind, you know, being attracted to the same kind of person. And what happens is, if we had something ruptured with our parents when we were young and we were abandoned in some way, and then the same abandonment occurs in that one who got away, we still desperately want to fix that core wound. What we don't really understand is you can't fix it. You got to let it go. And so I do believe it becomes a bit of a fixation, obsession, and a compulsion. And that's when you have to get out of isolation, get yourself into a recovery group, somewhere where people are struggling with the same issues, tell all your dirty secrets, get them up and out. And once you do that, you start to get healthier. So that's my long answer.
Appreciate you. Long answer there. Her name is Shannon Caleri. She's got a book coming out today. She dated the hashtag asshats, but married the good guy. How to go from toxic love to real love in 12 exercises. Happy Valentine's Day. Go enjoy the rest of your day. We appreciate you coming on today.
Lovely to be here. Thanks, Chad.
I tell you what. Thank you. Love is crazy. Love is wacky. Love is a lot of things. But it's awesome as well. Can be many different things to you. Hope you got a little bit out of that on this most festive days, Valentine's Day, which is essentially Woman's Day. And there's a Man's Day a month from now, but we can't talk about that on the radio because we'd get in trouble. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson Show.com. You can text the program 323-538-2423.